Welcome to another episode of the Cook, Eat, Nourish podcast with me, Fiona Staunton. Today, I'm talking to Sarah Merrigan all about extra virgin olive oil. Well, if you want to know about extra virgin olive oil, how it's made, what it tastes like, the health benefits, all of these things, this is definitely the podcast for you. So be sure to listen to the end, and in the show notes, you will find the link to discount to buy the olive oils from her website. But it is also available in a number of different stores around Dublin and soon to be nationwide. So I hope you enjoy the podcast.
So welcome, Sarah. I'm delighted to have you on my podcast. Would you like to introduce yourself to my audience?
Hi, Fiona, and thank you so much for having me. My name is Sarah Merrigan and I'm from Dublin, but for many years I lived in Spain. I lived in Barcelona for about 8 years. And basically while in Barcelona, I think I began a love of food, a love affair rather of food, with food that has kind of continued up to the present day. So while I was over there, I chefed and I worked in various kitchens. And then when I came back to Ireland, I set up an organic box scheme and I delivered fruit and vegetables all over Dublin and worked with producers around the country. However, as anyone who works in the veg business will tell you, that's an incredibly labor-intensive way to earn your living. And with three young kids, after about 10 years or so, I made the decision to let that go. And I took some time out. And then when I came around to kind of starting to think about what I might do next, I had a very good friend of mine who's from Andalusia and had lived and worked here in Dublin and started talking to me about olive oils and how incredible the olive oils were from the part that she lived in, which is Jaén, which is spelled J-A-E-N. And because she'd been in Ireland, she had an idea of what was available here in Ireland. So she really felt that there was nothing to match the quality. So we went on a road trip to Andalusia at Easter time. I think it was 2019. And we spent a lovely week. Easter in Andalusia is extremely atmospheric and very, very beautiful and cultural. And we visited various producers that she was working with because she had gone on to set up a culinary school in Palma de Mallorca. So I think because she was introducing me to these people, they were happy enough to let me take their olive oils and bring them to Ireland. So I decided to give it a go. I introduced a small range of olive oils, and initially I introduced them to people that I knew in the food business, and I got very good feedback. So I set up a website so I could sell online, and I also started selling at my local food market, which is the Honest to Goodness Market in Glasnevin, which is a really incredible local food market we have here.
And so when is that market on, Sarah?
It's on every Saturday. It starts at 9, but I think a lot of people get there, 8:30 before I do anyway. And it goes on till about 2 or 3. Okay. And it's an extremely vibrant, energetic kind of cornerstone of our community. And everybody, the world is wife, is up there on a Saturday morning getting their bits for the weekend and beyond. And so I started there. I was doing it once a month and I found, very quickly that there were people out there that wanted the oil. So I started doing it more often and now I do it once a week. And I have my customers and I have people that come to me maybe that have heard about Sarah and Olive and want to learn more about olive oil.
Fantastic. So yeah, I must go check it out because I haven't been to Glasnevin on a Saturday. So I must go and check that out.
So
can you tell us, first of all, why is olive oil good for us?
Why is it good for us? So it's principally two things. The type of fatty acids that you get in olive oil are particularly good. They're the monosaturated kinds. I think there's about 73% of the fats are that. And they are the type of fats that lower cholesterol. So that's the initial thing. And then there are antioxidants called polyphenols in olive oil. And polyphenols are what make olive oil such a superfood. They're just antioxidants, fight inflammation. And as we now know, an awful lot of chronic disease comes from inflammation. We've got those two things. It's also a completely natural product, and it's the only oil that you make by simply squeezing fruit. All other oils are made with a chemical process, essentially, that extracts the oils, whereas olive oil or extra virgin olive oil, not all olive oils, there are different grades of olive oils, but extra virgin olive oil is the one that is just, you squeeze the fruit, you get the oil.
Fantastic. Okay. I mean, yeah, you definitely make it sound good just from a health benefit side of things. What is your, I know you mentioned you had done the organic boxes, etc. Do you have, you know, Sarah's approach to cooking and eating? What would be your general approach?
I think my approach would be very much based on what's in season, what I find in the market. And I probably got that from living in Barcelona. So when I went there, you know, we didn't have any kind of market culture here in Ireland. And also I was in my early 20s, so I hadn't really cooked that much. But, you know, in Barcelona, everybody got up, they went to the market, you basically bought what was there in front of you. And there was always a lot of talk about what you could do with each individual thing. So I would, you know, I would take things home, try cooking with them, try different approaches. And the other big thing about my time in Barcelona was that I was a strict vegetarian. And as such, there wasn't a whole lot available to me when it came to eating out. So it was really where I started to teach myself and learn and ask questions about cooking. And so that was kind of the starting point. And then obviously, as I said, the starting point in Spain is always what's in the market. And when I came back to Ireland, I started working in the Temple Bar market on a Saturdays. And I saw that again, you know, that there was this huge range of amazing produce. And for me, that was, you know, the way I start thinking about my week in food. And that's kind of continued, you know, up to today. I mean, there are things that kind of I cook most weeks. Like, you know, I usually cook beetroot at some stage of the week. I cook a lot of kind of heavy, rich tomato sauce, which I would use, you know, as a base for other things like pasta dishes or shakshuka or, you know, something simple, you know, to serve with toast or bread. But that's kind of the starting point.
Okay, great. So kind of healthy, seasonal and local would be your ethos as such.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And I think that if you eat the seasons, you're getting produce at its best and you're also getting it at the best price. You know, if you buy tomatoes and peppers in, I don't know, December or January, they're not going to be at their best and they're going to be more expensive. So if you kind of lean into what's available now, you'll always be getting the best.
Okay. And so I love that you were saying that the extra virgin olive oil is literally just the fruit squeezed. Could you tell us a little bit about that process and how the olive oil is made, the extra virgin olive oil is made?
Okay, so the olives are collected from the trees, and how that's done is usually they shake the tree. So they have these machines that will hold the trunk of the tree and shake the tree, because what you don't want is for the fruit to be damaged in any way, because once the fruit gets bruised, it can start fermenting and that will degrade the olive oil that comes out the other end. So that's the first step, is the way things are harvested. Heat is a big issue when it comes to making olive oil. Most of my suppliers would be harvesting at night, because in Andalusia, as you can imagine, temperatures are still quite high in October. So they like to harvest when the air is as cool as it can be. You get the olives off the tree onto the ground. They're collected in nets and then they're brought straight to the mill. And then once in the mill, they go into a kind of a conveyor belt that involves, first of all, the fruit being washed, then the olives being taken from the stalk and the leaves removed. And then they go into a machine that basically kind of, it's like a meat grinder. It kind of, you know, it just chews them up and produces this pulp. And that pulp gets kind of mixed and mixed and mixed. But always you have to be careful that nothing exceeds 27 degrees. You don't want the olives or the olive paste or the olive oil at any stage go above 27 degrees. So there's an art in, I suppose, doing that as quickly as possible and then getting the olive oil out the other end, and then it gets filtered, and it is literally these kind of like screens. And the olive oil goes through those screens and gets filtered and comes out the other end, and then it is stored. And then obviously, you know, it gets, my olive oil would be bottled to order. So you're all the time trying to keep the oil as fresh as possible. So the oil is produced in late October. And generally then, you know, is, you know, some orders are, you know, they bottle for all their customers, but then the rest of the oil that the producers have gets stored in these huge drums in the mill. And then, you know, as people order, they bottle more. Sorry, you're gone, Fiona. You've turned off your...
So I think that's really fascinating, Sarah, because I mean, obviously I've worked in food for a number of years and I love to use the extra virgin olive oil, etc. But I put my hand up. I've never really thought or delved into how it gets from that farm to table. So thank you very much for sharing that. So the trees, I'm just making sure I've got this right. The trees are shook so that the olives will fall from the trees, so they won't be damaged, because fermentation might happen if they're damaged. They're generally harvested at night, trying to keep the temperature under control. They're collected in nets, then they go to the mill where they're washed, the stalks and leaves are removed, and then they're kind of almost like in a meat grinder where the pulp is, you know, gets mixed, and it's filtered and stored, and they store them in large kind of vats until... it's, you know, it's bottled until it's needed. So, and they bottle it up for you at source. So that sounds like a really niche, but I suppose a really valuable product made with a lot of care and attention.
Oh, it really is. I mean, even, you know, I think we spoke the other day about the moment, you know, that they decide to harvest. You know, it's such a crucial moment for the producers. It's, you know, it's choosing the moment where the olive is ripe enough to give juice, but not too ripe. So, you know, the oil doesn't get kind of watered down, as it were, but not too unripe that it becomes kind of too astringent. I mean, most of my producers, you know, what they're offering is called early harvest olive oil. And this is oil that's made from olives that are collected slightly, you know, slightly young. And this produces a very green, fresh oil, which has a great taste, works really well with food, but also has a much higher concentration of polyphenols. So it's a much healthier oil. But it's very important that you don't harvest the olives too young, because if you do, then you're going to get something that's super astringent. And the astringency is what you get in the back of the throat, you know, when you feel that kind of, you know, the bitterness, you know, as you're swallowing, or the aftertaste. So you want some of that, but you don't want it to the point where it's unpalatable. So these are producers that are all the time, for the weeks in the run up to the harvest, are, you know, going out every day and, you know, collecting some olives, checking those olives, deciding is today the moment, you know, is the day we start, you know, all of that. And that's where I suppose the art of each producer comes into its own. And then after that, it's doing everything at speed. So getting those olives off the trees, collected into the mill within, you know, I've seen it done within, you know, 20 minutes.
Wow.
And that's really ideal if you can do that, you know. Okay. So they're, you know, they have their own facilities on site so that it can be done as soon as they come off the trees.
So you've mentioned about the temperature. Mm-hmm. And when I first trained, we wouldn't use any extra virgin olive oil in cooking because it has a slow smoke point, etc. But now I'm understanding that not your the premium ones, but the extra virgin, single source extra virgin oil that we should use that in cooking. Can you explain to me a little bit about that and how temperature after the harvesting and preparation might affect things?
So you mean as the olive oil is being produced, or do you mean in the kitchen?
In the kitchen.
So, okay, so yeah, for years there's been this idea that extra virgin olive oil can't be used for cooking, and that is simply not the case. The smoke point of extra virgin olive oil is about 210 degrees Celsius. Most frying is done at between about 180 and 190. So extra virgin olive oil can easily be used for frying. And yes, there are other oils that have higher smoke points, but nobody should be frying at those smoke points. So it's not really, you know, it's not really relevant. So, you know, if you go to Andalusia, you will find that everything there is fried. From the lovely aubergines with honey that you get, you know, in Cordoba, to like all of the different kind of biscuits, the cake, the different things, they fry, they bake, you know, they poach. Everything is done with olive oil. And it's usually done with extra virgin olive oil, because it does matter that you use a good quality olive oil when you fry olive oil and cook. Olive oil is the kind of product that is really, really good for you if it's fresh, if it's in date. But it stops being good for you and starts nearly being bad for you if you consume oil that is rancid, over the hill, or musty, those kind of things that happen when olive oil is not produced, you know, as it should be, or is left, you know, for years on end, or a bit of this year's is mixed with a bit of last year's, which unfortunately does happen in the industry. So, you know, you don't need to be using, you know, the really high-end premium oils. Of course you don't, but you should use a well-produced olive oil when you cook.
And so is there a type of oil that you would suggest if people are cooking that they would use?
Well, I suppose I sell the premium oils, but I've also sourced from the producers of these oils, more everyday oils that come at an easier price point. So let's say instead of maybe 22 euros for a bottle of oil that has been awarded best in the world, is absolutely incredible, that same producer will, you know, have produced an oil that's 14 euros. And then if you find yourself using a lot of olive oil, the way to go would be to buy a 5-liter container of olive oil made by these same producers, but then brings the price of a liter down to, you know, as low as about a fiver, you know, and that for me is kind of, you know, the no-brainer. Not per liter, sorry, per half liter.
Okay. So 5 euro for 500 mils if you buy it in the large container.
Exactly. And you're getting a really good quality oil. It's an oil that you can fry with, but it's also an oil that you can put on your salad.
Okay.
You know, so what I would describe it as your kind of workhorse everyday oil. I have it in my kitchen, my producers have it in their kitchens, you know, and it's like, I suppose, you know, the wines you might use to cook with, or even have a glass of, you know, on a Wednesday night when you know you don't want to finish a bottle, but then there's something lovely that you open on a Saturday night that's special, that works really well with what you're cooking and eating, and you enjoy it as such.
And do you sell those 5-liter ones at the market and on your website?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay. And I sell a lot of them, you know, because people do, you know, they appreciate that kind of, you know, more keenly priced option.
Okay. And actually, while we're on price, then it might be a good time to give us a breakdown, because it's one of the things that I often have clients say is that when they go to a shop and they look at some really good quality extra virgin oils, they don't really know which ones to go for, and they can just be so expensive. So in a minute, I'll probably come back to your tasting club and how you work there in terms of what you can taste. But just while we're on price, would you let us know the range of your oils? I know I have three of your oils, and you will pronounce them so much more beautifully than I will. But if you could just give us an indication so people have an idea of what type of price you'd be paying for these beautiful premium oils.
So I suppose the most premium, and as I said, these are oils that have won prizes all over the world, are, you know, the best examples of what an olive oil can be. You're talking about €22.
And is that for 500 mils?
That's for 500 mils. I mean, I do have other bottles that come in that, you know, around Christmas time for gifting that might be a bit more than that. But €22 will buy you an incredible oil. €17.50 will also buy you a great oil. You know, so the prices run from kind of €17.50 to €22.
Okay.
For the kind of high-end premium, you know, olive oils that have been made, you know, on the first day of the pressing, that kind of thing. Then if you go down to the more kind of everyday level, you're talking about €14 or €14.50 for an organic oil, you know, is a good price and a good quality that you can use for cooking and then also dressing. And then I suppose finally you have the 5 litre drums. So I have one that is €52 for 5 litres, and then I have an organic one which is 62 per 5 litres.
Okay, beautiful. Thank you. And I know we might as well add it in now. You've offered the listeners a 10% discount from your website. So we will pop the code, the link to your website in the show notes and the code there. So thank you very much for that, Sarah. Now, before I go into asking you maybe about the tastings, on the shelf a lot in Ireland and the UK, we see what's called a pure olive oil in the supermarkets. Do you want to explain to my listeners what that is?
So a pure olive oil, it's a category of olive oil that has kind of evolved within the European Union, which is essentially a blend of refined and unrefined olive oils. So unrefined olive oils are what you want because they haven't gone through a chemical process, they haven't been heated above 27 degrees. Whereas refined olive oils, they could be really low grade olive oils that have been, you know, put through a chemical process to kind of neutralize maybe some of their defects. And you don't really have to have very much extra virgin olive oil in a pure olive oil for it to be called pure olive oil. So pure olive oil is not pure olive oil at all. And it's part of the kind of confusion that can exist in the olive oil business where people just don't really understand what they should be looking for. So, you know, I think most of the time what you want is an extra virgin olive oil. You want last year's harvest. So last year's harvest was October, maybe the beginning of November. And that's an oil that will last you for up to 18 months. So you're always looking for the most recent harvest when you buy olive oil. Even if you're buying, you know, an ordinary supermarket olive oil, you want it to be fresh. Olive oil is kind of the opposite to wine. Fresh is best. You don't lay down olive oil. And if you buy an olive oil, you should use it. The health benefits are off the charts. So like don't, you know, if you do buy one of the beautiful €22 bottles or somebody gives it to you as a present, use it. Because it's really good for you and it won't last forever.
Okay. And I remember a couple of years ago, where here in Ireland, I know I've listeners in different parts of the world, but here in Ireland, you would see the pure olive oil in the supermarkets, and that's what we would tend to have been using for cooking. And when I would be on holidays in France, I would look in the supermarkets and it doesn't exist over there. It was just the extra virgin olive oil. So now I have learned and I've been educated on it as well in terms of, you know, the health benefits and how you can use it and you can cook. But I'm just, I suppose if I work in the industry and I've only known that over the past 5 or so years, how are other consumers going to know? So I just think it's important to get that message out there. So in terms of tastings, do you run tasting workshops?
I do. Yeah. I've always felt that education is a big part of what I need to do, I suppose, so that people who are buying an olive oil understand what they're buying. Because, you know, I really felt that for a lot of people, it was going to be a bit like what you're describing, like you don't really know what's what. So you might go into a shop, you see a bottle that looked nice and was expensive, and you think, well, that must be the best. And maybe it is. But it's good if you can kind of have some criteria so you can know. So right from the start, I always encourage any customers to try a selection of olive oils. And I, you know, people might be a bit nervous and they might feel like they won't get it, they won't taste, but you know, I suggest they might taste, you know. Everybody ends up with a favorite. Like everybody who tries 3 or 4 olive oils will be able to tell me afterwards that they like one over the others. And that's your starting point. And that's the first olive oil you buy. And then you use that. And then usually I have, you know, most customers come back to me and some of them stick with what they have. They fall in love and that's it for life. But a lot of people end up coming back and it's, I suppose, it's a little bit like wine shopping. It's like, you know, what do you have that's different or similar, but a little bit different? Or I'm cooking this kind of food and I'm enjoying this kind of cuisine. What would you suggest? So, you know, in broad strokes, you know, again, it's like wine. There are lighter oils and you pair those with lighter dishes and lighter flavors. Then you have more complex oils and then you have the really robust oils with a lovely peppery finish that are great with tomatoes, great with charcuterie and for dipping that I find that most Irish people go for. So, you know, there's lots to kind of play around with. And, you know, if you do cook a lot, I'd always suggest you have at least 2, one for cooking on every day and then one that's maybe a little bit more special. But then if you really go down the rabbit hole, you might have a couple of oils for finishing. So what I mean by finishing is that, you know, you take your tray of roast veg out of the oven and, you know, you add maybe, you know, a duca and then some lovely olive oil or a piece of fish or pretty much anything you're serving. So you might want to play around with the different olive oils and styles and just see what you like the most.
Okay. And so we're talking about quite a bit of olive oil, we're, you know, putting it on when you're cooking and drizzling and all this type of thing. In order to get the health benefits, etc., within the industry, is there a recommended daily allowance that you would need? Like, is a teaspoon a day going to give you the health benefits with the polyphenols that you might be looking for?
The World Health Organization says 2 tablespoons a day will radically move the dial on your health. So okay. That's always what I have in my mind. And, you know, so 2 tablespoons, if you think of it, you know, it might be the drizzle of olive oil on your toast in the morning. And then on a salad later on, either at lunchtime or in the evening. Okay. So that's kind of, you know, that's enough. Now, you know, I do have customers who, you know, have been told by their doctors that they need to consume olive oil and they don't quite believe it can go on bread. So they take it off the spoon and we have conversations about this every time they come to me. But, you know, it seems such a shame to you know, to treat it like a medicine. It can be a medicine, of course it can, but, you know, enjoy it. Have it on your food, you know, put it on top, drizzle it on a soup. You know, on a stew, on, you know, any salad you're making, even like grain salads, you know, rice dishes, pasta, you make a lovely tomato pasta, get your nice piqual. Piqual is a variety that goes really well with tomatoes and you drizzle it on just before you serve pasta and it kind of brings all the flavors together and it gives you that extra boost of flavor just before you serve.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're making me hungry now. So I always like to ask my guests three tips that they would give to improve one's health. So that the name of the podcast is Cook, Eat, Nourish, and it's all about nourishing yourself and improving your health. So what three tips would you give to the listeners, Sarah?
I would say cook from scratch as much as possible. Even if that means something as simple as an omelette and a salad, you know, simple tomato sauce, poached eggs, spinach, that kind of thing. I would also say eat the rainbow. Try to eat the rainbow every day. Somebody said that to one of my kids years ago, and it just really resonated with me. So that rather than kind of trying to track various nutrients and vitamins and minerals and all that kind of stuff, if you at the end of the day can look back over what you've had and think, okay, I've eaten all the colors, chances are you're well over your whatever it is they say, five a day. And I think it should be a lot more than five a day, but
yeah, I think it's gone to seven a day now.
Right.
So,
okay. Yeah. So if you're doing that, the chances are you're well over the seven. And that means that, you know, a good portion of what you've eaten in that day was fresh. And then finally, it's what, you know, goes back to what we spoke about earlier is get to know your local market.
Okay, yeah.
Sequence and season, and you're introduced, I believe, in variety, eating as many different things as possible. And when you're eating in season or you're going to a market and maybe, you know, you're trying a new cheese or a piece of fish or, you know, anything really, you're eating more variety.
Okay, great. And before we finish up, and if there's anything else you can add it in, would you mind just speaking a little bit about, say, the tasting notes and what you might pair the wines with? Because I think it's something that we're generally not. So maybe if I choose one of them, if I choose the one that I think, and you might describe to me about the 100 points, et cetera, that it has, would you maybe give a little bit of a description about that?
So the oil that you're holding is Finca La Torres Ojiblanca. And that is an organic and biodynamic olive oil that has been awarded 100 out of 100 points by the Flossolet, which is an organization. It's an Italian organization. That's kind of like, I don't know, the Olympics of olive oil. So this is definitely one of the world's best olive oils. And, you know, when you taste it, or when I first tasted it, it reminded me a lot of complex red wine in that there were a lot of different flavors in my mouth, but they all seemed to be perfectly balanced and harmonious. So with this oil, you get some sweetness, you get some fruitiness, but you also get some herbal notes, things like chicory, rocket, and then you get lots of kind of fresh green notes because it's an early harvest olive oil. You get a lovely peppery finish. So what does that mean in terms of pairing it? It's a robust oil, but I have found that it works with almost everything. Finca La Torre invited me over to their harvest a couple of years ago. And with a group of other people in the olive oil business in Europe, we were treated to some lovely meals and lunches and in Malaga, where they're based outside Malaga. And we would arrive at each restaurant and the guy who was looking after us, Borja, would basically give the people in the restaurant a bottle of olive oil that they just pressed, you know, a few days ago. And we were eating fish, we were eating meat, we were eating vegetables, we had desserts. And, you know, there were a few times where I thought, like, really, is it going to work with this as well? And it really worked with everything. So we had prawns, we had sardines, we had white fish, different kinds of meats, we had all kinds of different vegetables, cheeses. We worked with them all. And that oil is an oil that I use in the summertime to make a cocoa nib and lime pesto, which I serve with roasted nectarines, and sensational. And because the oil has these kind of slightly kind of aniseedy notes, It brings together the basil and the chocolate and the lime. It's just a wonderful oil for bringing flavors together.
Fantastic. I mean, you make it sound like a, I don't know, a complete dish, or I don't know. You are a great advocate for extra virgin olive oil. That's for sure.
Well, I think it's a secret ingredient that can make other dishes, other very, very simple ingredients, taste great. So, like, you know, if you're cooking in season in Ireland and, you know, you have all these different greens, or, you know, you have all the brassicas, you know, and, you know, you stir fry them, you steam them, you roast them, whatever, olive oil will lift them to another level, you know, and olive oil, a little bit of salt, maybe a little bit of vinegar. And, you know, you don't have to do much. You just throw it in the oven. I've got three kids. I don't have time for, you know, huge amounts of faffing around, you know, certainly on the weekdays. So to be able to just cook things really, really simply and then dress them is great.
And one last question. Sorry, I did say the last one was my last. But how important is it to go for organic if you're going for extra virgin olive oil? Or what are your thoughts on that?
I think organic is always a good idea. However, I know all my producers, and all of my producers have a commitment to quality that includes protecting the biodiversity in their groves and really looking after their olives very, very well. So I would say that I have some non-organic oils, but these are very often made by producers who also farm organically. So the, you know, the kind of processes and the approach to looking after the, you know, the plant is very, very similar. And, you know, I'm sure, as you know, that, you know, the process to be certified organic is a very laborious one. It's quite costly. So, you know, even I kind of understand why not everybody would want to do that for every product. So, you know, I know all of my producers, and I know how they work. So I feel very comfortable recommending anything they do. So, I mean, you know, while most of my oils are organic, even the ones that are not organic, I would stand over wholeheartedly.
Fantastic. Thank you. Now, did you have anything else you wanted to ask before we finish up? Or you wanted to add?
Maybe to mention the tasting club.
Sure.
That I'm going, like, do. What I'm planning to do. The other thing, Fiona, is that when you were talking about matching oils and food, you said wines and food, probably because I've mentioned wines so often. I've done that, so you'll hear it back anyway, just so you know. So let me see the tasting. So in 2021, we launched a tasting club, whereby members buy a subscription, or usually bought a subscription by a loved one at Christmas time. And over the course of the following year, I send them a bottle of olive oil every 3 months, along with tasting notes, food pairing suggestions, and a recipe or two. And the idea with this is to introduce people interested in olive oil to the different styles of olive oil. So, you know, going from the lighter, more delicate through to the more robust, and to talk about the individual producers, and I suppose just give them some knowledge about, you know, what extra virgin olive oil is, how you should look after it, the thought process behind, let's say, something like early harvest olive oils. So it would give you kind of a good grounding in olive oil. So I have been doing that, as I say, since 2021. And this year, I am hoping to launch online tasting events, so that people, no matter where they are, can do a tasting with me online and get that kind of general introduction to olive oil.
Fantastic. It sounds like a lovely present when you're looking for something for a foodie that you can't think of. What a great idea. And also, you mentioned that you're going to put in the show notes an article linked to the health benefits, etc., of the extra virgin olive oil. Yes. So we will put that in the show notes below as well.
For sure. Okay.
Okay. So thank you very much, Sarah. Thank you. It was delighted to have you on today. And thank you for all of that.
Thanks so much for listening to today's podcast on Cook, Eat, Nourish with me, Fiona Staunton of Fiona's Food for Life. I'd really appreciate if you would subscribe, rate and review the podcast to help spread the word. And if you pop over to my website, fionasfoodforlife.ie, you'll find lots of recipes, videos, inspiration and upcoming courses. Thanks a million.